But it doesn't say anything about the weather. How many of you, I won't ask for your hands, but you might have learned something just now, if you're paying attention. And that's what the whole point is. Whatever you think you know, you have to check it out, amen? And that's what these people weren't doing. They thought they knew something, and they didn't check the Bible to see if what they thought they knew was true. Well, Jesus is going to present Himself to Israel as their Messiah, and because the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scholars that are called scribes, the Hellenists, the Romans, they didn't know their Bible. So every time Jesus would fulfill prophecy, they were totally clueless as to what they were seeing. And Jesus, for 3 years, 3.5 years now, have been presenting Himself and demonstrating His deity, demonstrating His fulfillment of Messianic prophecy. He's now going to fulfill this prophecy that we read in Zechariah. And they're going to miss it because they don't know their Bible. You know what? Some of these people probably knew some Psalms, maybe some Proverbs, knew the Torah. Some of it anyway. But God says we're to live by every word. Every word. So if you are not reading your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you are disobeying God. And by reading your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you're obeying God, but you're also going to know what you need to know so that, number one, you can make better decisions in life. And also, you can speak the truth whenever such things come up and you're talking to people. But I've met very few Christians who read through the Bible and are capable of talking to people about such things. Although I've met a number who really are convinced they know these things and they'll say things, but it's not in the Bible. What a shame. Scripture was Scripture. This was pictured when Isaac rode on an ass to be offered by Abraham in Genesis. You remember this? Genesis 22:3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Jesus is on a donkey going into Jerusalem. Do you know where they were at?
Same place.
Abraham and his only son, Isaac, on an ass, going to what's called Moriah. Mount Moriah is an area that we now know includes the Temple Mount and Golgotha, yeah, where Jesus was crucified. And that's what this, in a veiled way, foreshadowing Jesus Christ coming. Amen. On an ass. Amen. To Mount Moriah to be crucified. This was then spoken of in a prophecy by Jacob. Remember Jacob in Genesis? Jacob was renamed Israel and had the 12 sons that we call the 12 tribes of Israel. The end of Jacob on his deathbed. Look over Genesis 49. Next time you read through Genesis and you come to this, you see this, you're going to think, oh yeah, this is that prophecy that Zechariah later clarified for us and then Jesus fulfilled in the triumphal entry. Genesis 49 verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. That's the tribe that Jesus was from. The lion of the tribe of Judah. Nor a lawgiver from between his feet. The law of Moses came from Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And until Shiloh come. Shiloh is one of the names of Messiah in your Old Testament. I love that name. Shiloh. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And that hasn't happened yet. Now read verse 11 with me. Binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. Now, this is very symbolic prophecy, but you see the foal and the ass's colt, just like Zechariah mentions. And why is he coming into Jerusalem? He washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. The wine represents blood.
Yeah.
the grape juice that comes from the grape represents blood. We prefer not to have the sweetened, tasty Welch's grape juice like a lot of churches use, because it's not supposed to be something that you enjoy. It's supposed to have a bitterness to it and represent the blood of Christ. We use a non-alcohol free wine, they call it, for that purpose. But it's representing the blood of Christ when you take communion, the wine. And that's what it's representing, the blood of Christ here in this prophecy. Think of that. First book of the Bible, and it's picturing this thing. This was a direct fulfillment of a messianic prophecy from Zechariah that we already read one, but go back to Zechariah on your way back to Luke. Stop by and say hi to Zechariah. And Zechariah 9:9. Zechariah is full of amazing prophecies that were fulfilled, the first coming, and will be fulfilled in the second coming. And Zechariah 9:9, if you're there, read it with me. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Can you get any more clear than that? That's the prophecy of Zechariah is being fulfilled by Jesus Christ here in Luke 19. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't it a fascinating book? You know why it's fascinating? Because it is all about a fascinating, amazing, flawless, sinless Savior who is the Messiah of Israel and fulfills all these prophecies. And while Zechariah predicted Messiah's entrance, that's what we just read, the psalmist predicted his reception, which couldn't be staged in any real sense. Look over Psalm 118. Beginning of verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Pick up verse 22 and read through 26 with me. The stone which the builders refused is become the head of stone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Now, that is what we're getting ready to see. They say this. And there was no cue cards. There was nobody standing there with a sign, or like these leftists, you know, to get together and chant. There was no one leading a chant. And they say exactly what the psalmist says they'll say. But you have to understand, too, as you read this, it's a dual application that Jesus is the stone, the headstone, that the builders refused, and he's now become the headstone of the corner. How many of you heard you say this, or you'll hear people sing, we sing the song, this is the day which the Lord hath made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. And people will put that on coffee cups and put it on their social media and say, this is the day that the Lord hath made, I will rejoice and be glad about, you know, a sunny day or whatever day. Be trying to psych themselves out to be in a good mood on a Monday. Who knows what it is. There's nothing really wrong with that, but the context of that verse is the coming of Christ, coming to die for your sins, and then coming to conquer. That's the context of that verse, and it goes hand in hand then with what we're reading here in Luke 19. And it's exactly what happened. Look over verses 36 through 38. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God, just like that psalm says, with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Read verse 38 with me. Saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. This is called the triumphal entry. The triumphal entry is what most of the time we call this. Why? Because he's coming in, and this is how a king would enter in the city in triumph. You'll see it in other places in the Old Testament. But you see it in other places in history, as you read history. And he's coming in that way because if they had received him, then history would have been changed. Who knows how it would have worked out exactly? But we wouldn't have needed 2,000 years of church history. But he wasn't. We have Daniel 70 weeks prophecy chart for free on the website. Go to our resources and charts, and you'll find all these. And on the chart, we show in the middle there, triumphal entry, and then the Messiah is cut off 4 days later. Now, I don't think I get into it in our slides, but I'll say this real quick. That's why we don't make a big deal about what they call Palm Sunday. Because I don't agree with the chronology of that. And I believe it was a Saturday. And some people will say, well, that was Sabbath. And they pretend that there was something they did here that would have broke Sabbath. And it wasn't. People would have been heading up for the temple for a feast, as we'll see in a minute, and so forth. But they saw Jesus approaching for the Sabbath before the Passover feast. So the Sabbath before Passover was always way more crowded than normal. And so that's one of the reasons why when Jesus enters in Jerusalem, there's such a massive crowd. Because this is the Sabbath before Passover. Look over at John 12. We're in Luke. Just turn over a few pages. John 12. Verses 12 and 13. And verse 12 says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast. And you'll have people say this is a feast on this day. No, they've come to the feast of Passover. And it's the Sabbath before that Passover. When they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, read 13 with me, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him. And cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, they didn't have to go tear a bunch of branches down. That some people say that's how they would have violated the Sabbath. It was typical that they would have these palms for various reasons. And then they just used them in this context. And they cried, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. So, this is a clip from one of the movies where they do a pretty good, because you can see where he's coming. What's that behind him? See the scenery back there?
Yeah.
That's the Mount of Olives. And so that's what it would have looked like, him coming down off of the mount and into the city, and they would be dropping their coats and waving their palm branches and throwing the palm branches down in front of him. And it's a triumphal entry. It could have been a triumphal entry, and it ends up being triumphal in the sense that he died and paid for our sins, and that's the only reason we have eternal salvation. But Jesus is rejected. So the triumphal entry was a potential triumph. But Jesus is rejected, as we read in Psalms. The stone that was rejected by the Jewish leaders. So we close there in verse 39-40. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. In other words, nothing will stop God's word from being fulfilled. If you won't do it, God will find someone who will. And if he can't find someone, he'll get a stone to do it. You think he can't? And that's what I love that response that Jesus gives to them. They don't like it because they know that's something that is said to the Messiah. They understood that phrase that we saw out of Psalm 118 is something that would be said to Messiah, and they understood that this, by saying that, they're identifying Jesus as the Messiah of Israel. And they were rejecting him. Folks, if you live for the Lord and you talk the way you ought to talk, and you talk about Jesus to people, and you bring up God's Word whenever things are discussed and God's Word has something to say about it, That's basically what they're going to tell you. Stop talking. Stop saying that. Stop praising God. Stop preaching God's Word. Stop telling people about Jesus. Stop. And what do? Keep on doing it. Jenny and I were listening to a song this week saying we're going to talk about Jesus. And they say, well, you know, we know you people don't like it and they're going to try to get us to stop, but we've got too much to say. And we're not going to stop talking about Jesus. I want to close with this reading in Isaiah. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 11. I'm going to let you read the odd verses with me when I begin. I'll read verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Okay, you all have your Bibles open? All right. That's not good. Isaiah 55, I'll read 8 and you join in verse 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. See, the point of these studies every week is for you to learn your Bible. And by doing that, you will build your faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you will grow in your relationship. You understand, you're supposed to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're here as a family. I'm here as a teacher. But your relationship with us is really based on your relationship that you have with Him to begin with. And because we all have the same Father, we come together as family. And all of us here, our desire is to help one another to learn the Word of the Father. And by learning the Word of the Father, it grows our faith and our faith in His promises. Our faith in our relationship with Him. That's why I've said this recently, I'll say it again. How many times I see people, I just saw it again this week, someone talking about how it was their faith that got them through. No, it's not your faith that gets you through. It's the Lord who gets you through. Your faith in the Lord gets you through. Faith is empty and useless unless it's based in the person of Jesus Christ and His Word. And your faith in the person of Jesus Christ begins when you receive Him as your Lord and Savior. You repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing how that Christ died for our sins on the cross, shedding His blood to pay for the sins of the whole world, specifically for your sins. All of them, past, present, and future, paid for by the blood of Christ. They buried Him, and after 3 days He rose from the dead, conquering sin and death. And because you learn the Word and you grow in the Word, you also learn to grow in your faith in that death, burial, and resurrection, and your hope in the resurrection. We lost somebody this week who had been attending here for a few weeks. I'm just going to call it like it is, because it's too serious to play games. I loved him.
Amen.
A number of you spent time with him, tried to be a friend to him,
Amen.
Lift him up in the Word. And I hope to see him in heaven. I believe his profession.
Amen.
But I tried to counsel him. to get away from the crazy stuff he's got his mind on and to get closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Focus your Bible study on Jesus first.
Amen.
Exhaust the Word about the Word.
Amen.
Grow. Once you get to the point that you know that you have matured in your faith in Christ and you have that close relationship with Christ, then you can try to figure out the world's problems. Then you can try to solve all the conspiracies. Then you can try to get into the crazy stuff, you know, that some people get into. We talk about this stuff in current events. We don't believe in putting your head in the sand, but that it's a matter of priorities. And if you're here today, I don't care what it is, if you are not focused on your personal relationship and knowledge of, personal relationship with and knowledge of Jesus Christ, you're off kilter. You're in the wrong direction. You're going to make shipwreck of your faith. Jesus is the focal point of your faith. Jesus is the focal point of your walk. Starting with that moment when you believe on His death, burial, and resurrection and are born again and saved. From that moment on, now it's all about Jesus first and foremost. Everything else can be icing on the cake. But for 30 years, I've been telling people that same thing. And I can tell you that a very small percentage listen.
Yep. Right.
And so, what do? Pray for you.
Amen.
Those of you who are doing it, God bless you.
Amen.
Those of you who aren't, what's wrong? Why not? What is it that keeps you from wanting to grow close to Jesus Christ? First and foremost, especially if you profess to be a Christian. Make that your priority. And we won't have to have that kind of talk about you at some point.
There's not a friend like the Lord Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else can heal all our souls in Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide you the day is done. There's not a friend like the Lord Jesus.
Can you say, I love Jesus?
I love Jesus.